host, Amanda.
And I'm Ella, and you are entering the slow, easy waters.
Yeah, nothing exciting or heart-pumping about this one. Mm-hmm.
Of Scully Nation, mm-hmm. where the flashlights are always on or always off. They never mm-hmm. flicker. Mm-mm-mm. And the blazers are sleek and smooth and well-tailored.
Mm. Yes, thank you.
Yes.
What a lovely place to be. Thank you for having me on this X-Files rewatch podcast where we, well, I've often been on it. We rewatch the X-Files, and this is my first time watching that.
This is my fourth time watching it. And why are we being so calm and smooth?
Because I'm just chill.
Even keeled tonight.
Yeah.
It's because we wanted to match the tone of this episode, mm-hmm. Which is, of course, season 6, episode 2. Drive.
Yeah.
To pick some like
it's time to drive.
Yeah.
is this what Fast and Furious X is about? This X-Files episode?
Probably, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What if some overload, some hum from this system could somehow match the resonant frequency of the human skull? I mean, what if it could induce a like hum that could somehow exert a rising pressure on the labyrinth of the inner ear, in a sense shattering it?
But with constant movement somehow ameliorating that pressure, making it bearable. But why only westward movement?
I don't know, Mulder, I don't know. I mean, maybe it has to follow certain lines of force, electrical or magnetic.
But the big question, Scully, is what do we do about it?
Well, I think I know, Mulder, but it's nothing that Mr. Crump is going to like.
Well, let's bring the energy up a little bit, maybe.
Okay.
Because now the joke is over.
Yes. Okay, let's do it.
Okay. This episode aired on November 15th, 1998. It was written by Vince Gilligan. Who else?
Yeah.
And directed by Bobby Bowman. And this episode takes place in Buell, Idaho, Elko, Montello, and Wendover, Nevada, and Lolita, California. And a short plot synopsis. With Mulder trapped in a car by a seemingly deranged man, Scully races to determine if the man is suffering from a deadly illness and if Mulder is in danger of becoming the next victim of a government virus.
There's so many government viruses
there
in this
really
dang show.
Are. I mean, at least two.
At least two.
Well, three. There is the Pine Bluff variant.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, well, is it time for us to hop into the accelerating meat of the episode?
The really fast meat.
The fast, fast meat.
Yeah.
Just
the
like,
Fast and Furious meat.
Just like Vin Diesel himself.
Vin Diesel. Vince Gilligan.
Uh-huh.
Drive.
Uh-huh.
Cars X.
I think they're talking about replacing Vin Diesel in the Fast and the Furious franchise with Vince Gilligan. Like they're in talks for that.
Vince Gilligan is going to be the actor.
Yeah.
In the movie. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I sure would watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're trying to make it work because of the stuff with The Rock and everything. So see how it goes.
Would The Rock think that Vince Gilligan is a candy ass? I feel like he just hates Vin Diesel, right?
I think he just hates Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
I don't think he would hate. I don't think he has any reason to hate Vince Gilligan.
Okay. All right.
I think they could chill. Wow. I'm coming for you. Why is he like a Mickey Mouse? I'm sorry.
I don't know, but that's his voice now.
Yeah. I'm Vince Gilligan. Now I'm starring in the next Fast and Furious franchise film. Starring me, Vince Gilligan.
As Dom Toretto.
Oh, he's now playing a new character.
No. Okay. No.
The only thing is, I don't believe that Vince Gilligan cares about family.
I don't either.
You know?
He's always destroying families.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of. Let's hop on in. We open on a Fox 11 breaking news bulletin. It's very exciting. The energy is there. We see that we are in Nevada. There's a patrol doing a police chase on a lonesome highway. We see the anchor giving these updates, and then we start getting updates from the helicopter correspondent guy in the sky. They are talking about how the driver of this car that the cops are chasing is going like over 100 miles an hour. Seems pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on.
And immediately Amanda was like, is this Mulder?
I did assume it was Mulder. I gotta be honest.
It was a fair assumption. Yeah. It wasn't in the cold open, but no, you know.
But later. It will be.
Yeah.
It just felt like something he'd get up to.
You weren't wrong.
Yeah. And it's like about the expense reports chasing him down. And then anyway, so the video of the breaking news bulletin fades away and suddenly we're like in the episode, in the car, in real life.
Did you mention that they think it's a hostage situation?
No, I didn't. They do.
There's a little there's a little hand in the back seat, so
yeah. Scoping out. A little hand, like a periscope.
Yeah, sure. Come on. Well, inside the car, who is driving this car but Walter White himself, Mr. Bryan Cranston.
Season one, he's got a mustache and hair.
Stars the silver screen.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Wait, silver screen's movies, right?
It is. He's been in them.
What's the movie or the TV equivalent? Star of
the small screen.
Sure, star of the small screen. He is driving with a woman who we don't really know who this is. nice, of course. It's probably his wife, though.
Yes.
Given how they behave. So she is sitting in the back seat. She's clutching her head in pain. She doesn't look at all well. We kind of zoom in on her ear, and there's like a high ringing noise, and she's not having a good day. But outside, the highway patrol put some spike strips out to stop the car. The helicopter, or the blue car, shows up. The helicopter is flying after them. There's cops in pursuit. It's all happening. It's all very exciting. Walter White drives. Are we calling him Walter White or are we calling him?
I called him Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston.
But we can call him Walter White. It's funnier.
I feel like, well, his character's name is Crump, which is also very funny.
It was also pretty good.
There's so many good options.
I feel like it's gotta be Walter White or Cranston, though, right?
Cranston. Okay.
I mean, we can't call him Crump. But we can't call him that. Okay. No one's gonna know what we're talking about.
Absolutely
They're
not.
They're gonna be confused.
Yeah.
Walt.
I guess Mr. Cranston.
There you go.
Because we can't just call him
Mr. White.
It has to be Mr. Cranston.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Mm-hmm. Cranston.
So Mr. Cranston comes speeding through the spike strip and his tires pop and he careens to a stop. The police surround the car and then they drag Mr. Cranston out of the car. He is flailing. He is screaming. Classic Walter White behavior.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
It is kind of, he has such a specific, like, mannerisms, mm-hmm. you know, Bryan Cranston does. It's like, yeah, I don't know, like screaming and stuff he does with his hands and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's basically like in the same position as he is in some key Breaking Bad scenes mm-hmm. in this when he's being like shoved into the ground and screaming.
Yeah, exactly. So they drag him out of the car, they wrestle him to the ground, he is screaming for his wife, and she still looks horribly in pain. The cops kind of walk her over to the cop car, and they put her inside, and then she starts slamming her head against the window, and Mr. White is screaming, and everything's dramatic, and then her head explodes. It just pops like a balloon, blood everywhere. Yikes.
And I like the helicopter correspondent was like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah,
fair.
Mm-hmm. Same. Yeah, I think this guy was trying out for his like comedy routine because he's also like, this guy has a few choice words on the subject. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like, come on, man.
This is a serious situation.
I guess.
Let's not joke about this.
He loves jokes.
He's funny.
Who
he's
among
goofy.
Us?
I hate jokes.
Well.
Why are you laughing?
Obviously, you hate jokes because it's not funny.
That's rude.
No, I'm sorry. No.
Anyway,
it's
credits.
Very funny. Credits.
No, credits.
Funny credits. Goofy credits.
They're not goofy.
Fine.
They're just normal credits.
What if they had goofy credits in the goofy episodes?
I would like that very much.
Like, instead of Mulder and Scully, you know, dramatically going into rooms, they're, I don't know, doing pratfalls. And
that would actually be,
I don't know.
That'd be pretty funny.
Jumping at ghosts.
Had they realized that they could do that yet? In the 90s. They have a special little intro for certain episodes.
I mean, I'm sure they realized that they could. I don't think they care.
They don't even care.
They don't even care.
Whatever. It's fine. Credits over. We cut to Mulder and Scully. They are chasing down leads for the domestic terrorism beat. So anyone who buys too much fertilizer, they go and visit their farm and make sure that they're actually farmers and not building bombs.
Fun.
Which, you know, doesn't sound like the most interesting work after you have fought vampires.
Yeah.
So that's fine. So they are knocking on the door of this farmer. Mulder is just visibly giving
pouting.
Off all of, yeah, pouting, giving off all of the body language cues that he is incredibly bored and this is beneath him. He's like leaning against a porch railing with his little arms crossed, and then he's like looking around and sighing.
He's like an emo teenager on family vacation. Mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. the vibes he's giving
yes,
off.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they, you know, the farmer invites them in and is looking around for his proof that he's using the fertilizer to grow sugar beets.
This guy is a real Vince Gilligan character as well.
Yeah, that's fair.
Vince loves his, like, down-homey guys.
Well, he's a down-homey guy himself.
He is.
I'm a down-homey guy myself.
Yep.
I love him. I love bald, down-homey men.
This guy's not even bald.
There's not a lot of baldness in this episode.
There's it's not.
Strange. They reined him in, I guess.
I can't believe he got Bryan Cranston in this episode and he didn't make him shave his head.
That's the only reason he was able to get him back for Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Yeah. If he had shaved his head this time, Cranston would have said, I don't trust you anymore. You're going to do it again.
Kind of feels like he was pretty on board with shaving his head for Breaking Bad, but yeah, what do I know?
Probably. I'm just being a silly Billy.
Yeah.
So they are looking through paperwork. Meanwhile, Mulder, also not unlike a child, gets very distracted by the TV and just stops and stares at that instead of helping do his job. And it is because it is news coverage of the woman's head exploding in the back of a cop car. And he's like, Scully, get over here. Just get over here. It's the next file. Quick.
Yeah.
And so they watch a little bit more of the report and see that the woman's head explodes, and it is not from a gunshot, apparently, according
That's
to the cops.
That's what they say. And Mulder's like, it can't be. It can't be, because I gotta get out of here.
Yes.
It has to be something weird.
Exactly.
So, outside the farm, Scully is leaving and Mulder is already outside. He is on the phone with a police captain from Nevada.
God
because,
damn it.
Of course, he is. And he's talking to this guy. He's like, of course, I'd be happy to come down to Nevada and help out. I'm not doing anything important. In his defense, he's not doing anything important.
That's true.
But, you know, he's supposed to be doing something.
He's supposed to be pretending, at least.
Mm-hmm. And so Mulder hangs up and Scully's like, are you kidding me, Mulder? But, you know, she knows better by now, I think.
Yeah.
So Mulder is like, listen, Scully, we got to go to Nevada. It'll be just one quick trip. Don't worry about it. We can just check it out. We can bring our expertise. And Scully says, no way. We have a new, very real, very important assignment right now. We're checking out fertilizer. It's very interesting. And I'm very happy that I'm spending my whole life doing this.
Mm-hmm.
She's not convincing me.
No.
Or her.
She's not enjoying
him.
It.
Yeah. No. But she's at least trying.
She's trying.
She is.
Yes.
Yeah. And Mulder's like, whatever, this is just bozo work. This is the FBI equivalent of picking up trash by the side of the highway. We gotta go to Nevada where it's cool. And, I don't know, Scully protests and she says that if they really want to get back to working on the X-Files, they have to fall in line for the time being and follow orders and not freelance. But Mulder doesn't care. He kind of asks her what she makes of the news report and she says, the most obvious explanation is the most likely that the woman got shot. But Mulder's like, I don't know, witnesses said that she just popped or something. And why would her husband suddenly take her hostage? It kind of looked like he was trying to warn the cops. And he doesn't want to investigate giant piles of doo-doo. And he says, you know, they can be in and out in less than a day. Nobody has to know.
Perfect.
Not our new boss, not anybody. Let's just go. Mm-hmm. And Scully's like, all right. Because she's also bored.
She's also bored.
Yeah.
You know, he's a bad influence, but she is willing to be led.
Yeah.
We cut to a prison in Nevada where Bryan Cranston is in a dark cell with a bloody nose, and he's starting to hear a high-pitched noise as well, just like his wife did before her head exploded, and he starts freaking out and calls for help, which is fair.
Also, Walter White behavior, getting a bloody nose.
Pretty classic. He's always bleeding.
He is.
Come on, forget about it. He doesn't cough a lot in this episode.
I don't think he coughs once.
Nope. Ridiculous.
Wow. We got to get more coffin in here.
Come on, Vince. Anyway, we cut out to the main area of the cop station place, and the Bukur is arriving and meeting with the local chief, who is like, you're actually not allowed to meet Bryan Cranston right now because he was screaming nonsense in his cell about how we were going to kill him the way we killed his wife. And he's currently being seen by a doctor because he had a bloody nose. And that seemed like real Bryan Cranston behavior. Yep, so we said, we got to figure this out.
We know it's serious.
Yeah. They start talking about this guy. They learn that he has no prior record, but he did do some crimes today. And that's fine. Uh-huh. That's fair. We were all there for it. Scully is like, okay, I'm going to go look at the dead body. And she goes off to the morgue. And Mulder stays because he wants to like really try to meet with Bryan Cranston if he can. He's a big fan. He's like, you're an acting inspiration.
Yeah, of course.
I'd love to meet with you. But he goes to a big map on the wall in the meantime, and he and the police chief person like start looking at it and kind of tracking the route that Cranston was taking with his wife. And Mulder realizes that he was originally going east and then turned around and started going west. But nobody has any idea why they changed direction.
I'm proud that he knows his directions.
Yeah.
He was pointing the right way. He was saying the right directions. I'm very proud.
He has a little tattoo that's a compass rose.
He would.
For cheating.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't help.
No. So it's morgueboard time. Scully is in the morgue. She's talking with the morgue doctor is not the right word.
Medical examiner.
I don't know
if that is, though.
Well,
or if they're
that feels
like
more right than morgue doctor.
They're not mortician either.
No.
Someone else.
Medical examiner. That's got to be it.
We can call him that. Let's call him that.
All right. So she's talking with the ME on the scene. Me? She's talking with you on the scene. How did it feel to be confronted with Dana Catherine, Donkey Kong Scully?
Yeah. It was, I'm going to say, honestly, it was shocking because I was four and they were asking me to hold scalpels. Mm-hmm. They were asking me to have conversations with large words.
Yes.
Many syllables.
Mm-hmm. More than usual.
I was supposed to be in frame with her, but I was quite short. Compared to her.
Well, okay. I was going to say it would be easy because it's
Jillian
Anderson.
Well, they just
Jillian
reused Anderson. The box. Yeah, so okay. They just like shifted the box from under her to under me.
So she was on top of the world.
Yeah.
Literally.
She was loving
it. She was
it.
Very excited she that was she was it. No longer the short one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But okay. I don't know that my line reads were great because I barely spoke English yet.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of goos, a lot of gaws. That's not 4-year-olds.
You were past goos and gaws.
Past goos and gaws.
I think 4-year-olds can speak, right?
Yeah, just not, you know, intense medical jargon.
Probably not. Yeah. They probably don't even know what an ear canal is, you know?
They might.
A 4-year-old?
They know the concept.
They know what an ear is.
They know there's something in there. They're always getting ear infections.
That's true, I guess.
They probably think about ears more than us.
That is very true. Okay, fair enough. Right, that's true.
She was talking to a medical examiner, not to me. I was goofing
on
you. Yeah,
that was funny. That was funny.
Thank
so
you.
She's looking at the body. There's just a big old exploded head. It's pretty gross. So she starts looking at it. There's no gunpowder residue. There is no entrance wound on the other side. It's all exit wounds. So Scully starts examining the ear canal because she's an adult and she knows what an ear canal is.
Yes.
That's very exciting for her.
Yay.
There are, like, we get, like, a disgusting little up close up on the ear, and it's
a real
pretty nasty
wet glistening close up.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty. So she does note that there are like fragments of bone embedded in the ear canal, and it's all very gooey, and she kind of notes that it's sort of like a little bomb went off in her ear or something. So she starts prodding at the ear canal and says that there's something in there, and then the ear just kind of explodes all over her.
Gross.
Yuck.
A lot of blood.
It does get only over her, like, protective gear. It doesn't get on her face, but still.
It's still upsetting.
Gross. And it's close.
Yeah.
I could
have gone
care for it. Yeah. Ugh. Yucky is what she says.
Yes. Yep. You're like, oh, yuck. Well, that's what I said because I was four.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just shocked that I didn't notice you in this scene.
Yeah, well, I was there. I mean, I had makeup, I had a costume on.
Mm-hmm. So you were the Emmy.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was me at 4.
All right. Cool. Well, what happened to your acting career?
Oh, I just couldn't stand the prosthetics anymore because they had to put so much on me so I looked like an adult.
Sure.
I was like, you know, it was like, not to bring up I think you should leave again, but it was like Carl Havoc.
sure.
Said too much shit on me.
I guess my question is, why did they not just have you play 4-year-olds, you know? It feels to me like a natural choice.
That's a really good point. I don't know what casting directors were thinking. Sorry about that. Spit take.
Well, there's just so many 4-year-old actors, but there's not enough people willing to play medical examiners on cop shows.
Yeah. That's a real dearth. Two Emilys, because they had too many actors that could play that 4-year-old.
That is very true.
I tried to get in on Emily, but...
Yeah.
But, well, they don't have as many kid characters, you know? So it's like all the fancy kid actors get all the kid parts, and then the rest of us have to play adults.
I'm just imagining, like, with the, like wearing a full-size adult lab coat and, like, adult heels, you know?
That'd be very cute. That would be kind of cute. It'd be very funny. Just everyone else treats it like it's normal. It's like sort of a reverse. What was that show on HBO with like the two comedians where they're playing their 13-year-old selves?
Yeah, what is that called?
I know. What is that called?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Pen 13?
Pen 15.
15?
Right. Because penis. That makes sense.
I guess a 3 would also make sense. Whatever.
I guess.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. It's just like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Never watched it.
I think I watched one episode.
Oh. Well.
It's good.
Yeah.
There's just too much TV.
There is.
Anyway. So yeah.
An ear exploded.
This is my big scene. Okay. Right. It was really exciting, but we can talk about it at the end.
Cool. All right.
Okay. So we cut to some EMTs and cops loading Cranston into an ambulance. Mulder tries to get into the ambulance with them, but he gets kicked out by the EMT, who's like, five's a crowd, buddy.
I just like that he just tries to climb in with them. Like, what is he doing?
Why would they let him go with them? They don't know him.
I don't know. They just, I don't know. They just kind of push him out. It's very funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Poor guy.
And he's like sad, and he does like the little Charlie Brown Arrested Development walk to his car.
Aww.
So he just
not his car, a Lariat car.
You're right.
I assume.
Thank you, a Lariat.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just has to drive his Lariat instead of be in the ambulance.
Yes.
Which, as we learn, is good. Or bad.
No, good, because he would be dead, I guess. Yeah. I will say, since this episode is so focused on cars, I guess I have to register my complaint now that we never see a Lariat bumper sticker.
Yeah.
They switch. There's so many cars. Not once do we see a bumper sticker. Well, we see a bumper sticker, but not
Lariat.
Yeah, no.
Fan disservice point number one.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, Vince.
Yeah, maybe you should remember what Lariat is if you want us to care about you.
I hate Vince Gilligan now.
Vince Gilligan sucks. He's going to ruin the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Yes.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's stop talking about me. So we cut to the ambulance driving down the highway. Mulder's following it. The ambulance starts driving kind of erratic. This is just when it starts going faster and faster as it's trying to get to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And as it gets faster, Cranston seems to be doing better. So it seems like we might have us a bit of a Speed situation, if you know what I mean.
All right, I do. I just watched Speed.
I have not seen it.
It's pretty good.
I know the concept.
Yeah.
And Cranston gets his little eyeballs on the cop's weapon now that he's doing a little better. So, uh-oh, we have a bad feeling about that.
Yikes.
Uh-oh.
Is what I said. So now we see Mulder driving right behind the ambulance. The ambulance starts swerving and driving erratically, and then it stops. Mulder screeches to a halt. Bryan Cranston gets out and points his gun at Mulder. Oh my God. Yet again, Mulder is being held hostage by an X-Files sufferer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we decided on?
I think something like that.
Okay.
Or afflicted by X-Files or something.
An afflictee. Sure. I mean, we have like abductees, so we could have afflictees.
Sounds like a victim of an afflict.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
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 An X-Files afflictee.
Afflictee.
I like Sufferer better.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay.
Sufferer.
All right.
Yeah. Also real Walter White energy, jumping out of a car in the middle of the desert, pointing guns at people.
Mm, I guess so.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. Imagine him in tidy whities.
No. Yeah, sure.
He's wearing pants. Mm-hmm. That's the big difference.
Sadly. Yeah. Fan disservice, moment number two.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's no excuse because Vince wrote this episode. It's like he couldn't have thought of a way to get him naked. Like, hello.
And shaved his head. Yeah, come on. Vincent.
Ugh.
I guess he didn't have that power yet.
Whatever.
Oh, well.
He put it all in the script, and then they were reading this, and Chris is like, Vince, I don't know about this. We don't need a 12-minute long strip scene. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
We got to save that for Skinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
We can't waste that on a random character.
But get Bryan Cranston and Skinner in the same room together?
Whew.
You know Vince would be all over that.
Oh, yeah. That's his dream. Uh-huh. I love that for him.
Hmm. But it didn't happen.
I know.
So
I know
he didn't even get his dream.
I hope they had an after party or something
for their one episode. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. That Skinner is not in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We cut to Scully in the lab. She calls Mulder and is yelling at people to get out of the lab because she's quarantined, which seems bad.
Love a good Scully yell.
Yeah, she's great. She's doing her yelling. That fan service point one.
Yes.
She explains to Mulder on the phone that she does not know what killed the woman, but they have to assume it's communicable because they found another body that died of the same thing, which was like a big old exploding aneurysm thing, apparently, in their brain. Or their ear, I guess. Scully has called in the CDC, but as they wait for the CDC to arrive, Mulder needs to quarantine. Mulder needs to quarantine Cranston in his cell, and she's like, just don't have any contact with him whatsoever. The important thing is to not be in an enclosed space with Bryan Cranston breathing in the same air as him, because that's going to risk you getting this disease. And then, of course, we get a funny smash cut to Mulder driving a car with Cranston in the back seat,
and pointing
a gun at him, and they're making out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's pretty hot
and funny.
Yeah, I'm like, why can't Scully hear this?
They're quiet kissers.
Famous,
you know,
famous quiet kissers, Mulder and Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, of course. I guess we have no evidence towards or against that.
Could be.
If I had watched Californication, I would know, but I have not.
We have the means of finding out if he's a quiet kisser.
Okay. All right.
Does Walter White make out with a lot of people?
He kissed Skyler.
Mm-hmm.
That might be it. He probably, like, kissed the kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably it, right?
Did he ever kiss Jesse?
I don't think so.
I would remember that.
Yeah. I mean, they were like evil hugs.
They were evil hugs.
I don't think any kisses.
Well, I bet Malcolm in the Middle. We'll find evidence.
Okay. We're going to do some research. We will get back to you on whether or not they're quiet kissers or not. This is important data.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. But yes, it's very funny. Mulder is now being held hostage yet again. And the police are following them.
Yeah, the police are following him, and he's going to get whatever this disease is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And his ears are so precious,
yes.
I guess.
He needs those.
Yeah. So, Scully and the ME, Scully and Amanda are in the morgue quarantining, and Amanda is crying and rocking back and forth because she's 4 years old and is very scared.
Yeah, and a dead body exploded.
It's kind of messed up that they're making a four-year-old do this, I gotta say.
I didn't understand what was happening.
Yeah, that's, I feel like child cruelty, right?
Well,
it seems bad.
Well, I don't know.
Did it have a long-term effect on your mental health?
This might be why I was scared of the X-Files. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, was it this?
Yeah.
Was it the fact that you start on it?
And... and they didn't tell me they were going to explode the ear. They just did that.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that scared me.
You didn't remember that until now, huh?
No. Okay. I blocked it out.
Oh, well, you blocked it out.
I blocked it out. Come on.
All right.
Come on.
Well, you're taking it very well right now.
Thank you.
You don't seem to be that upset about it.
Okay. I am about to lose it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll be looking forward to that
later on
in this episode.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, pal.
So Scully slams her phone number up on the window. So she and
how she hits on people.
That's how she hits on people. Yes. Her and this police captain. Maybe they're also quiet kissers.
Mm-hmm,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't. They have to kiss through the window. So
that's kind of cute.
It's
too.
Like
Kirk and Spock.
Kirk and Spock. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Same thing.
Yep.
So, are we just calling this guy the police captain?
I didn't have a better name for him. Did you have anything?
I called him PC in my notes for police captain. Okay. So,
but he's not very PC.
I guess not.
I guess he doesn't say anything.
He's just a guy.
He's no Bryan Cranston.
No.
Which we'll get to.
Very true. Okay. So she is talking with the police captain. Scully asks where Mulder is, and the captain says that they are following them, but they're kind of keeping their distance. Scully wonders where they're going, and the police captain says he has no idea, but it's not a problem because they're going to set up a roadblock. They'll stop them. They'll have Mulder safe and Bryan Cranston in custody within half an hour. No problem. So Scully says that when they do arrest Bryan Cranston, the CDC needs to be on site and all of the officers arresting him need to be wearing level 2 hazmat suits. The car needs to be decontaminated and the two of them need to be quarantined separately. So it's getting pretty serious. And another guy comes over and tells the police captain that Bryan Cranston is yelling at them on the phone. He said if they don't pull back the escort, he's going to shoot Mulder in the head.
Wow.
I guess he didn't say in the head.
No.
He could shoot him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's rude.
So it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did Bryan Cranston call the... Oh, I guess he called 911 or something, right? I don't know. How did he call the cops?
Well, he...
Or did they call Mulder?
Probably called Mulder.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so back in the car, Mulder is like, can I get out, please? And Mr. Cranston says no. But he does look at Mulder's FBI badge, and he's like, figures. Typical feds.
Mm-hmm.
Someone tries to call Mulder's phone again, and Cranston just throws it out of the car, and Mulder starts screaming. He's like, that was so stupid, Crump. Because he's like, you do not get between Mulder and his phone calls with Scully.
Absolutely not.
What is he thinking?
He needs his bedtime call with Scully to decompress before the night is over.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's not going to appreciate this.
No, he's not.
No. Mm-hmm. Cranston is on his shit list. Anyway, Cranston seems to be having a really bad headache and he wants Mulder to keep driving. And when Mulder slows down for a red light, Cranston screams at him to go and seems to start dying, which is pretty wild. So Mulder does just blast through the intersection on a red light. There's some close calls. It's very fast and furious. It's super cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he gets them to the other side alive.
He does also keep quipping incessantly during this. I just
yeah.
love, even when his life is in danger, he's still quipping. Yeah. The human spirit is unconquerable, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
He's a quippy kind of guy.
He is.
You know, no yeah. matter what.
That's true.
Thick and thin.
If he stops quipping, he'll die, right?
I mean, probably. Right?
Probably, yeah.
It is sad when he gets so sad that he doesn't quip.
Yeah. Then you know something is really wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Mulder care. Watch out for if he stops quipping, then you know something is really wrong.
Exactly. And if his nose is dry, that means he's sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, as Mulder gets to the other side of the road, he's like, oh, I see. We got a speed situation on our hands. That must be what happened to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
they're referencing so many movies lately.
Yeah, they're big. Well, they're in L.A. now, aren't they?
L.A. That's right. I mean, this is like the third. The Independence Day, Men in yeah. Black, Speed. My God.
Yeah, calm down.
Good golly.
You know, you're aging yourself.
I guess.
But Mulder realizes that if he slows down, Cranston will die. So he's like, your life is in my hands. And that's exactly the vibes.
Yep.
You know, she says it. And Cranston's like, well, I still have a gun. So they're at a bit of a standoff. And Mulder indicates that he knows law enforcement is planning some sort of a trap or roadblock. And Cranston is like, let's avoid that one, please.
And he says it like that.
it's kind of all weird interactions. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
The characterization is a little off, but that's okay.
That's all right. So we now check in with the cops that are waiting at the roadblock. We see that some of the officers are wearing hazmat suits, but they're waiting. No Mulder, no Bryan Cranston. They have evaded the roadblock.
But they blocked the road.
They did.
You can't avoid that.
And Mulder should have been driving right towards them so they could get out of this.
Yeah. Mulder.
Wow. So back with Scully, she's talking with the police captain. He says that, sorry, we lost Mulder and Crump, but they were last seen on the service road before the roadblock. The helicopters lost them. We have no idea where they are. Scully's really TO'd. She wants to know how the heck Crump knew about the roadblock, and the police captain says he doesn't know. He was really hoping that Mulder would steer him towards the roadblock. And then Scully gets a little look on her face, and she instantly knows that Mulder has adopted another X-File sufferer. She's like, ah, I see.
I understand now.
I know what's going on. So Scully's like, well, okay, I know Mulder, so clearly he has bonded with this guy already and is steering you away from the, or steering them away from the roadblock. Maybe he knows something that we don't. Mm-hmm. Hmm. So there's like a third hazmat doctor in this room. They had to get a real doctor in here because Amanda is still crying on the floor.
I'm just a child. Mm-hmm. I think this is the guy from the CDC, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he's got like a full hazmat suit on, and he's examining the cultures from the second victim. He says that so far they're not really finding any signs of infection in either of the dead bodies. And Amanda wonders whether they're in the clear and they can leave quarantine. She's like, please, please let me out. I'm a little kid.
Can I leave quarantine? Please. Yep.
Well, you could say quarantine at four.
Well, I said quarantine, of course.
Oh,
I couldn't say the R.
You said it cutely, of course.
Yeah.
Quarantine.
Quarantine.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
This is pretty messed up.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
Yeah.
I feel like they shouldn't have done this to you.
Well, lots of four-year-olds know how to say quarantine now, probably.
Well, no, yeah. That's true. That's
right?
True. So you're ahead of the game.
I was ahead of the curve.
All right,
come
cool.
Come on.
So Scully says, I don't really know if we can necessarily leave quarantine yet because maybe there wasn't an infection that killed them, but something killed them. And then she is interrupted by a call from the new boss, A.D. Kirsch.
Mm.
What is his first name?
I didn't write it down.
I think it's like Alvin, right? It is Alvin.
Nerd.
This is the, like the second Alvin.
Yeah,
the guy in the movie was Alvin too.
I can't handle this.
My God. He doesn't look like an Alvin either.
No.
No. He does look like a Kirsch.
Yes.
He can pull off that.
Yeah.
So it is A.D. Kirsch on the line. Scully sees his name and she just kind of like rolled her eyes and takes a deep breath before answering the phone. So,
yep.
So she knows. So Kirsch is just sitting in his dark, creepy office with all the blinds pulled like a weirdo. Okay, was he in Skinner's office?
I can't tell. It looks like it.
I was like, is it just a room that looks exactly like it or is it literally his office?
It could just be a room that looks exactly like it.
Yeah, it does feel like a little, because Skinner hasn't been fired. He's just like in big trouble.
I don't know what his deal is. You could tell me anything.
I mean, I guess we haven't seen him, but
I guess they would have mentioned if he had been fired.
Yes. I think he's just in big trouble.
He's getting spanked in the spank room.
I guess so. But he loves that. So
yeah.
it's not an effective deterrent. So it's probably his own office, right?
I think so. I guess so. Probably.
Okay.
Because he's just like, he just took over the X-Files. He wasn't like getting a promotion. So he wouldn't, like, be taking over Skinner's office, right? He would have his own office already because he was already an AD.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't
know. Unless they promoted him just for the purpose of this.
But
that seems like a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are big forces at work against the X-Files, so maybe...
Anything? You could tell me anything.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's probably his own office. It also doesn't matter, so we're gonna move on.
Extra sad if we imagine Skinner in a different office, like a cubicle.
Aww.
Kimberly's also there.
Oh,
they have to share one cubicle.
Well, I should hope that they get to stay together.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Of course. It's like how they won't separate Mulder and Scully.
Mm-hmm, So Kirsch is like, oh, so Agent Scully, how's Idaho? And Scully's like, she face palms and she's like, I'm not in Idaho, and you know we're not in Idaho. And he's like, yeah, I know you're not in Idaho.
Yeah.
So she tells Kirsch that they have come across a situation in Nevada, and they thought it really needed their attention. And Kirsch is, he's playing it cool. He's like, oh, well, I'm eagerly awaiting your report, but in the meantime, I'm putting some Nevada FBI agents at your disposal to assist you in tracking down Agent Mulder. You know, I'm just being so helpful and kind and, you know, accommodating. He's also being very ominous.
Mm-hmm.
He's loving it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I feel like Kirsch is just, he's, He doesn't seem mad about this, I assume, because he's been waiting for the first time that Mulder and Scully do something wrong, because he's, like, really excited about chewing them out.
He's
doing his exercises, he's been prepping, he's been, I don't know, chewing a lot of gum to, like, work up his jaw. Like, he's excited. Oh, he's been waiting for this day.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Ever since he got the, I don't know, transition notes from Skinner.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he had to know it was only a matter of time, so, like... He's excited.
I mean, he does say, what does he say? It's like, I probably want to see Mulder alive more than you do, Scully. Which is like, it makes sense because he's super excited about yelling at him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I support him.
Yeah.
You know?
Why not?
Why not?
It's a, you know, stress reliever.
Mm-hmm. A man's got to have fun somehow.
Exactly.
And if it's by screaming at your subordinates, why not?
That's fine.
That's fine.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Cool. So I think he hangs up on her. Scully looks back at the body. She has, like, a little thought. She notices in the files that the second dead guy they found was a meter reader. So she's like, what if this guy read the meter at Crump's house?
Mm.
Connection.
Yep. Hook, line, and sinker. Back in the car, Mulder is like, hey, Mr. Cranston, I have one quick question. What's wrong with you? Wrong with you, Cranston?
Mm-hmm.
And Cranston says, it's Mr. Cranston to you. He says Mr. Crump, because that's the character's name. He is
Mr.
Like,
Crump.
Mr. Crump. Mr. White. He's like, if you're going to call me White, you call me Mr. White.
Exactly.
Real Walter White vibes here, and Mulder is not impressed. Mm-hmm. Real Jesse vibes. He doesn't have Jesse vibes.
No.
Crump is like, what kind of name is Mulder anyway? Is it Jewish?
Just, yikes.
We're getting,
oh boy.
This is the first of many little fun anti-Semitic moments where I'm like not clear if Mulder is actually supposed to be canonically Jewish or if this is just some like undirected hate because he thinks he might be. I don't know. It doesn't really matter, I guess.
I think like the second.
Okay.
I feel like it doesn't, in this case, I don't think it really matters if he is or not. He's just, yeah.
People are always being anti-Semitic to him.
They are.
I don't like it.
It's not okay.
No. Come on. But anyway, instead of... Are you okay?
I have a drinking problem.
Yeah. Yeah, when I can't get another drink.
That's funny.
That's not... Okay.
There was no enthusiasm for telling that joke in your voice.
No.
Okay.
But, you know. Anyway, but instead of answering Mulder's questions, Cranston just starts having a little conniption fit instead, and he's like, you gotta go left, you gotta go left. And he starts bashing his head on the window until Mulder finally agrees to turn left in a very dangerous way. Real Scully left over here. And when they finally are going that direction, Crump starts being okay again. And Mulder is like, you have to head west, right? That's what happened to your wife, too.
Mm.
So apparently it's not just that he has to be moving fast. It has to be in a certain direction.
Clues.
A Blue's Clue, if you will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's about to be a Red Clue if he doesn't drive fast enough. So, we go to the Crump residence in Nevada, Scully does. I will say, very cool set, very cool lighting in the scene. I was very into it. It's like a trailer home, and the whole back of it is, like, illuminated by light, and it's, like, there's fog everywhere, and it's nighttime, and it's, like, very good vibes.
It's very nice.
Very into this. And, like, everybody, Scully and a bunch of other agents are advancing on the house in, like, hazmat suits. It's very, like... E.T. I was into it. I liked
spooky.
It. So they are here. They're kind of searching the residence and looking for whatever it is that could have caused the disease. They don't really know what, but they're just doing a blind search. So they walk around the property. They find a dog who's on the chain and is barking frantically and kind of running in a circle. And it seems like it's trying to run in like one direction. And it's barking a lot. And it seems like it's out of its mind with pain, which seems a little familiar. So they're like, okay, we got to get a blood sample from this dog. So these people just like walk up to this really angry giant barking dog and just try to hold it down with their bare hands. It's like, I wouldn't do that if I were them.
That's why they're in the CDC, you know. They're
tough. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I still wouldn't do it.
Think about it.
I'm surprised they didn't have you do this.
They wanted me to, but I was over my hours that you're allowed to work when you're four. Mm.
So they're allowed to traumatize you and make you think that a dead body is exploding in front of you, but not to overwork you.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's laws. Come on.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe not enough, but there's some.
Hey, I think I turned out fine.
Okay. Your eye is twitching.
I turned out fine. Uh-huh. Okay. Fine.
All right. So, yeah, they wrestle the dog to the ground. They try to get a blood sample. The dog keeps, like, barking and struggling. And then before they can get a blood sample, the dog's head explodes.
Yikes. Not again.
So much for that.
They're exploding dogs now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's dark in the car now and outside the car. That would be pretty wild if it was just nighttime in the car.
Dark everywhere.
Mulder and Mr.
Sounds
White.
Like a real X-File, you know?
What if that was an X-File? Like, night followed someone everywhere. They were always in an eternal pocket of night.
That could be an episode,
could
for sure.
Something.
Yeah. I guess they, like, well, not really. I was going to say, they sort of did that with Soft Light. Kind of.
A little bit, yeah. Something.
A little bit.
They're still driving around. Mulder asks Mr. White why he didn't go to work that day, and we learn that it was because it was raining, and he's a roofer, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So Cranston's wife
But
was...
you'd think you need more use for roofs when it's raining. You know what I mean?
That is so true.
It's like it's just an excuse not to go to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Cranston.
Yeah. Mr. No. Oh, Mr. Sorry. Cranston.
Mr. Cranston. And, you know, his wife was cooking breakfast. He seems very sad as he's recounting this. So we realize that, you know, despite the anti-Semitism, he has a heart.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he looked up and saw that his wife had a nosebleed. And, you know, Cranston didn't know what caused it. He's very defensive about the fact that he doesn't know what caused it. And then 10 to 15 minutes later, his wife started getting really sick. Said she had a headache. It kept getting worse and worse. She was screaming. So Cranston tried to take her to the hospital, but then it seemed as he was driving, the faster he drove, the better she was doing. And as soon as he started slowing down or stopping, she got worse.
Hmm.
Mulder's like, that sucks. Damn. And Cranston is like, fuck you. Your Jewish FBI did this to me. We're government pigs. And Mulder's like, come on, man.
Come on.
We're past this.
Stop it.
Come on. Just stop it. He spray bottles him.
Yeah.
And Cranston is like, okay. So, yeah, he thinks the government did this to him and his wife. He has seen agents sneaking around the woods near his house at night, apparently. And this is about the time that we realize that Mulder is almost out of gas in the car, which is awkward because they are going to have to stop then. Mulder makes a little joke about how this is the responsibility of the worldwide Jewish conspiracy. Mm-hmm. And then I think we're done with... No, there's more still later. Anti-Semitism, right?
I think so.
Okay, never mind. Yeah. We're not done. And we get a dramatic little music cue when Mulder says they're almost out of gas, which I thought was pretty cute.
Boom, boom.
I didn't notice.
All right, so back with Scully and the agents at Crump's house. They are carting away the dog's body. The house looks very clean. They're not really seeing anything obvious that could have affected or that could have killed all these people. The other CDC doctor notes that it's a little strange to have a pathogen that spreads among species. And Scully notices that there is a neighbor next to them. So let's check on them. Let's see if they're dead. So they knock on... I mean,
true, yeah.
Everything else is dead. So they knock on the neighbor's door and they walk inside. They call out, but nobody answers. They see some dead birds in a cage. They go further into the house. It's very dark. There's no answer. And then Scully sees a woman sitting in a chair, unmoving, seemingly watching TV. So she assumes that she is dead. But when she, like, moves the flashlight over the wall, the woman starts, like, freaking out and screaming. And so she's not dead. That's good. But then Scully kind of notices, since she didn't hear them screaming and she's like watching TV with the subtitles on, so this woman is probably deaf. So,
The clues are coming together.
They are.
We're getting to the end of the Blue's Clues. Or, sorry, Red Clues.
Red Clues, yeah.
Back with Mulder, he's like, okay, I'm going to get gas, but really fast. And then he, like, speeds up to a gas pump, screeches on the brakes, there's a pump malfunction and he can't get it to work.
Classic.
He's like,
this would never have happened in a Lariat. No, I'm just saying.
No. Mm-hmm. They have openings to the gas tank on either side, so you can't pull in wrong.
There's 16, like, all around.
So you can never fill gas with every pump in the station.
Yep.
Thanks, Lariat. So Mulder parked on the wrong side of the pump, so he has to, like, drag the hose over to the other side and everything while Cranston is dying in the back seat, which is kind of funny. And then Mulder's, like, screaming at the clerk to turn on the pump, and the clerk is like, nah, man, you gotta prepay. And Mulder's like, I don't have time for this, and he drags Cranston into another car that's parked at the gas station and then just steals that car because it is crime time.
They gotta go.
And the guy whose car it is not happy.
No, he is not.
But we pan over the old Lariat and we see that Mulder has left a little note for Scully.
Hmm.
So that's impressive. Hmm.
The car that he steals does also have a bumper sticker that says, I may be slow, but I'm ahead of you. That's so funny. It's funny because they're not driving slow. Nice. Do you get the joke?
That's pretty funny. I feel like they didn't focus on it quite long enough and I never could read like the top part.
No, yeah, I had to like pause it and like go really close to the TV and stare at it. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a blink and you miss it joke.
Yeah. But I appreciated it. Thank you, Vince.
Yes.
Thank you. So we've got the hazmat guys. They're pulling, they're taking the woman away, the neighbor away. And Scully's talking with the CDC guy, and she is just wondering how, like, why has everyone around this property died except for this one deaf woman? What could have happened? And so she thinks a little more, and then she pulls off her hazmat hood, and the other guy kind of freaks out, and she's like, I don't think that this is a pathogen. Whatever it is seems to affect the inner ear, and this place right here is ground zero. And she's like, what if we're looking for some kind of a sound? What if we're listening for some kind of a sound?
Probably not a sound you want to hear.
Probably not, but I don't think the hazmat suits are going to keep that sound out, so they can probably take them off.
Yeah, they got to look hot. Get the talent out.
So then she gets a call from the police captain, and he wants to know what the hell Mulder is doing, which is not the first or the last time Scully will hear that sentence.
No.
So he's like, Mulder's just stealing cars right now. And then he tells her what happened. He tells her that a note was left for her. And he reads the note and it says, Crump sick, will die if stop, same as wife, must head west to keep alive, no roadblocks. So they got to keep moving. So Scully tells the police captain to trust Mulder and to let them through the roadblocks. And the captain is not loving this, but what is he going to do? It's the FBI telling him, you know? So Scully kind of hangs up on him, and she keeps walking through the property. She follows a trail of dead birds to a hatch in the ground, and the hatch says U.S. government property.
Typical. I bet it does.
God, I'm so sick of the government.
And there's like an evil high-pitched noise emanating from it that interferes with the cell phone signal.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Oreo.
Oh, no. And back in the car, Mulder is still driving with Cranston, and Cranston's like, nah, man, you gotta go faster. Mulder speeds up to 70, past 70, and Cranston's still not going well. Yikes. And then Cranston, sort of, as he's dying in the backseat, half-heartedly apologizes for the anti-Semitism, and he's like, a man can't help what he's born to. Mulder's like, that's not an apology. But anyway, Cranston tries to figure out, like, why Mulder is even doing any of this. Like, why does he care about this guy? Why is he helping him? He's assuming that Mulder's doing it for nefarious FBI reasons, probably. And he says, like, it ain't right to take away a man's dignity. Better just to kill him. That's all I'm saying. Kind of Walter White energy.
Very.
Just saying, you know, he's like, I should have died when I, you know, after I got the money, but
yes.
Whatever, from Fly. But Mulder's,
Great episode.
Fly, maybe best up there.
Maybe.
It's very hot.
Yeah.
Good episode.
Like that Fly.
Whew.
And Jesse.
Oh, but I'm not Walter White. Except that one.
Except for that one.
Couple times? Well, I guess like hospital drugs.
Well, that's true.
But the one time with the weed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Mulder's like, you know, he does the thing from the movie where he's like, if you die, they win, blah, blah, blah. But, uh-oh, they're running out of west. And they gotta keep going west. But uh-oh, they're in California.
Gateway to the Pacific.
Fuck.
That's not good.
Nope.
They can't drive on water.
Or if they have built the BoJack Horseman bridge to Hawaii, I don't know.
That's right. That's right.
Because that's pretty south, too. So.
It would be weird for it to be coming out of this spot in California.
It would be strange.
But.
It'd be an odd choice.
Yes. But it's also an odd choice to build a bridge to Hawaii. Yeah. So.
Why did they do that? That's so goofy.
That I don't get it. It's like it's a comedy.
What the heck?
You know?
Ay, ay,
you know?
Ay, ay, ay.
So that's not good. They are running out of time. So they need Scully to solve this mystery quick.
Yes.
Luckily for them, she's on the case. So she has gone to the a naval research station in Nevada. She's standing around. She sees a giant billboard there for Project Seafarer. And we hear little dings, so you know that's a clue. So she's met by one of the military guys, and she is here to ask him about electrical equipment that the Navy is maintaining in the town where Crump lives. And the guy she's talking to seems a little annoyed because he already spent all day explaining all of this to the FCC, and he doesn't want to do it again. And Scully's like, oh, well, I'm sorry about that, but can you just tell me exactly what you told them? And he does, for some reason.
Yeah. But
I guess he doesn't tell her anything classified.
I guess.
So he says that, yes, yesterday morning during a test of our ground conduction radio systems, our equipment experienced a brief power surge, and that's what caused an interruption in the television signals in the area. But don't worry about it, because we are taking steps to make sure that this will never happen again, so it's not a problem. No harm done. Nobody was hurt. Don't worry about it. And Scully then kind of asks whether this test was related to Project Seafarer, and he kind of stonewalls her and says that the specifics of what they are doing is very classified. And then she asks, theoretically, of course, what a surge like that could have done to a human being. And the guy says, sorry, but that's classified too.
Uh-oh. Stonewall.
Mm-hmm. But it definitely wouldn't hurt anybody.
No, it'd be fine. Yes. It's just classified how fine it would be.
Yes.
So Mulder's still driving, and it's now light again. So he's driven through the entire night. My goodness. He kind of wakes Mr. Crump up to let him know that they are getting flagged by motorcycle cops, who are hand-delivering a cell phone so that Mulder can talk to Scully, because you cannot keep them separated.
No.
Okay?
No. Yeah, this isn't even about the case.
No,
this is just
she's just like, Mulder, we have to catch up. We didn't have time to talk last night. She explains her theory to Mulder. She says it might be extremely low frequency radio transmissions, which the military uses to do things like communicate with Project Seafarer, for example. And these ELF fields can cause biological effects in human beings. It's been studied as weapons, for like weapons use, and has even been referred to as electrical nerve gas, which does not seem great, probably.
Mm-mm.
And Mulder's like, and I have to pee during all of this, which sucks.
That's the worst part. Yeah.
But anyway, they're theorizing that maybe this sound wave or whatever is exerting a rapid pressure on the inner ear. And so like rapid movement can alleviate the pressure, and it maybe has to like follow some lines of force or something. So that's why they have to go west as well. And Scully's like, okay, I do know how to save this guy. It is not going to be fun. And then she tells Mulder, we don't hear it. And then they hang up, and Mulder is the one who gets the fun job of explaining it to Bryan Cranston. And he's like, okay, so we're going to stop. We're going to meet up with Scully, and she is going to jam a gigantic needle into your ear to alleviate the pressure. And you will probably be deaf.
Yes.
So, sorry.
Yeah.
And you won't have any anesthetic. And
fun.
Cranston is like, but I'll live, right? Like, that's the main point. So let's do it.
All right.
And then he's like clearly getting worse, and he asks Mulder to go a little bit faster. So Mulder speeds up to 90.
Uh-oh. So in California, at the end of the highway, the glittering silver sea behind them, there are ambulances on the scene. Scully is here. She's waiting. She has her giant needle in hand. She's ready to go. And then Mulder comes up driving. He has a police escort, so he's going as fast as he can. Everybody gets ready. They're all ready to go. And then Mulder pulls up. He doesn't seem to be going quite as fast as you would expect. And he pulls up past Scully, and then he slows down, like, right next to the ocean. Scully runs up, and then when she does reach the car, she sees that Crump is already dead. His head is exploded. Mulder gets out of the car. He looks very sad. He's ready to walk into the ocean. Yeah. He takes off his tie, and Charlie Brown walks to the ocean and just looks sad.
Yeah, just stares at the horizon sadly.
Yeah.
It's a pretty shot, though, because he's, like, silhouetted against the ocean.
Yeah. Can't do that in Vancouver. Actually, they can.
They could. They chose not to.
They did. Well.
That's awkward.
Defeat.
They did not win.
They did not.
Did they even try, like, stabbing his ear with, like, I don't know, a McDonald's straw in the, glove compartment?
You know Mulder would.
He was like, I could try it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I mean, if it's between that and your head exploding, like,
right?
Give it a shot.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
That would hurt a lot. But,
yes.
I mean, if it's between that and dying.
Yeah. I'm just saying they could have tried it.
Yeah.
But anyway, RIP Bryan Cranston. He will go on to be in Breaking Bad, though.
He will.
In about 10 years-ish.
10? Less than that.
9 or 8. When is this now?
1998.
Okay. So, like, 9
6
years?
6 years?
Didn't it start in 2007?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, probably.
I thought that's why the first season was short. Because of the streak de retires.
Breaking Bad started airing in... It's not telling me.
Oh.
It's not telling me.
Secret. It's a secret.
Now I have to go to their dang.
Oh, my God.
2008.
That's not true. Didn't it start in 2007?
It says here it premiered in 2008.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Wow.
Let me double check. I'll double check again.
No. I mean, it must be true.
January 20th, 2008 was the first episode.
January 20th. It's close.
So, 10 years. You were right.
It's close.
Yeah.
January 20th. It premiered in January?
It did.
I guess because of the strike.
Yeah, I guess.
Hmm.
That is kind of a weird, shocking that it got so big. I don't know.
I guess it didn't for a while, though, huh?
Well, it didn't for a while, but eventually did.
When? I've never heard of it.
You have! We mention it a lot. Sorry to break it to you.
I've been pretending this whole time.
Okay, all right.
Well.
Yeah?
I'm worried now.
Wow, you didn't even believe me.
No,
I had to double check.
Yeah, I didn't believe you. I thought you were lying.
Double-checked.
I thought you were lying and betraying me.
I did.
I don't know.
Well, I edited the Wikipedia so I could lie and betray
just
to you.
Now?
Yes.
Kind of weird.
No, before this.
Oh, okay.
I had this ready.
You knew that I thought that it was in 2007.
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I planted that tidbit in your head and, like, expected you to say it, and then I was just waiting so I could lie to you.
That's kind of evil.
And then I revealed it right away, so.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
It's not gaslighting.
But, yeah, what is that?
It's quite strange. I don't know if anyone's ever done it before. You might get to name it. It might be Elling.
Okay. I mean, you could just say manipulation.
Nope.
It's a general term. For
I need a specific
Okay, it's
Twitter
Elling.
Term. I need a branding
it's
opportunity.
It's not fun to say that. Elling.
Elling.
It doesn't have
a
ring to it.
Elling.
El Fanning.
El Fanning.
Yep. That's what it is.
It's, we cut to Kirsch's office. Where
or Skinner's office.
Or maybe Skinner. It's unclear. Do you think this was Kirsch's office or Skinner's office? Let's talk about that somewhere.
I mean, it also feels like Kirsch would be happy to take over Skinner's office just
true.
To be a jerk, right?
Yeah, that's maybe he has two offices now and Skinner has zero offices.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't even need the office.
Yeah.
But he's like, well, I'm overseeing the X-Files, so.
Might as well use the X-Files office.
Yeah.
Maybe Skinner has to sit in the creepy little room that the cigarette-smoking man used to sit in Skinner's office.
That's what
so
I was...
So, like, he can hear everything that's going on in this episode. He's just, like,
he's
crying.
He's got a glass against the wall.
Yeah.
That feels right, actually.
Yeah. Sad.
That's definitely what's happening.
Like, how are my kids doing?
Aww.
I'm worried about him.
And Kirsch locks the door so he can't even come in and say hi.
It's messed up.
It is messed up.
He's, like, pounding on the door in Morse code. please, guys. I love you.
That is so sad.
Oh.
Aw.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, anyway, so we're in Kirsch's office, and he is in a continuing thread that I really appreciate. I'm glad they're talking about this. He is tallying up the expenses that this little extravaganza cost the FBI. And I like that because obviously they would have found out because it's like things like Mulder stole a car and blah, 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 destroyed stuff. Mm-hmm. But I like to imagine that he did try to expense some of this, too. That he, like, submitted a little receipt for his plane ticket and was like, come on.
I mean, we know that he did for Antarctica, so.
It's also incredibly funny.
Yeah.
Love that. But Kirsch is not impressed. And he's like, I'm not even going to punish you because you're a freak and you'll clearly enjoy it, so I'm going to punish Scully. It's like, what the hell?
Well, he's got Mulder pegged.
Yeah.
He's right.
He's not wrong, but it's really rude. He got an accurate read there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did Skinner betray them? Did he give them that tidbit?
I think it's just obvious. Yeah. You meet Mulder for 1 second and you know.
Yeah. Fair enough.
No.
He's an easy mark, as we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And Mulder's just like, you know, like tapping his little toe with his little fists on his hips. And he's like, are we done here yet? I got to get back to my bozo work of investigating huge piles of manure. And Kirsch is like, you can always quit. And then they just like stare significantly at one another.
Yeah.
And Mulder's like, I know that you're manipulating me, so I'm going to take myself out of the situation. And he stomps out of the room.
Well, that's a first.
Yeah. I'm proud of him.
And it's exciting that he knows he's being manipulated.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't scream like, you're a liar. He doesn't like quit on the spot. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of him.
He's not very good at playing the game,
no.
But, you know, baby steps.
He's getting there.
Like 4-year-old Amanda.
Exactly. A goo goo, a gaga.
Again, you could probably say
I just loved Lady Gaga. So I was always thinking about her.
Don't think she was around in 1998.
And she was alive.
She was alive.
I knew about her.
Okay. Lady Gaga did not exist.
You're right.
But Genevieve.
Genova.
Panava.
So Mulder stomps out and Scully is like trying to explain to Kirsch that Mulder has been through a lot. And he's like, you apologize for Mulder a lot. Quit it. And Scully's like, I'm not apologizing for this. Our work has saved lives because the Navy took out that electrical thing that they had near Bryan Cranston's house. And Kirsch is like, I don't even care. I don't know that you can prove anything. And I'm going to take off my glasses and get serious for a second. Mm-hmm. And then he takes off his glasses and he gets serious for a second. And he says to Scully, I don't care if you save orphans in a bus. You are no longer investigating the X-Files. You are done. You need to recognize that. You need to stop working on X-Files. And then he puts his glasses back on, which is pretty cool. And Scully, like, stomps out of the room after Mulder. And as she goes, she mutters pretty loudly something about big piles of manure.
Yep.
Fiend.
The end.
Yep.
Even Scully's mad.
Yeah. Mm. Openly in front of her boss.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to fire him.
That's true.
Because if they were going to fire them, they already would have, so...
They could enjoy this for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point.
I mean, they're not enjoying it.
No, but they could.
They could.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. Have a little fun with it, you know?
Come on, enjoy it.
I guess they're, like, mouthing off to their boss, so they're having a little fun with it.
Well, they don't respect him like they respect Skinner.
Well, yeah, I guess. Poor Skinner.
I guess they mouth off to Skinner a lot and threaten to kill him and punch him.
They have a... Yeah. Listen, they and Skinner have a special, volatile relationship that Kirsch just doesn't understand.
And everyone can understand the passion. It's beautiful.
Although Kirsch seems like he's excited about having a certain kind of relationship with him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
He seems like he likes the cigarette-smoking man's idea of breaking a man's spirit.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I think he volunteered for this.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I think
doesn't he give off that vibe?
Yes.
Yes.
He's enjoying this.
He's probably been hearing about them for years, and he's like, why isn't anyone doing something about this? And now it's finally his chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I guess I can't be too mad at him from, like, an outsider perspective.
Yeah. Is he, like, he's probably, like, evil and in cahoots with the cigarette-smoking man or whatever. But if he was just an FBI guy who was troubled by the nonsense Mulder and Scully get up to, that would also be very funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Anyway. Well, that's all I got.
That is the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. All right. Let us move on to Who the Crew?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Tell me about that crew.
Vince Gilligan, for one.
Who?
You know who
I know.
It is.
It's just funny.
You know who I am?
Girl? Vince, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I forgot
you. Don't pretend you don't know me. Star of the Fast and the Furious.
I'm excited to see it. What's your favorite part about the role?
Well, family is so important to me, and I just wanted to bring that to my first acting role.
Which families do you care about?
The Toretto's. Toretto's for life.
Well, like, but they're not all related. It's like a metaphorical family, like a found family. So they're not all Toretto's.
No, they all are, I think.
Oh.
I think they've all actually changed their name.
They've all gotten
Toretto.
Legally familyized. It's like
legally
married,
familyized.
But,
Yeah.
I think he has like a sister, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's in it.
So there's
Did
two
she
Toretto's.
Die or something?
I thought she got with Brian, and then they're like are raising a kid together, right?
You're right. Yeah, she
spoilers for Fast X or whatever.
No,
Fast
you're
7.
Right. Yeah. They were in a relationship and they
had to keep it a secret or whatever.
Or but she might have like come back.
She might have come
in the
back.
Next one.
I believe that.
I don't know. Anyway, back to Vince Gilligan.
Yeah.
So, Vince Gilligan's inspiration for writing this episode is he had this idea about a man holding somebody hostage on a tilt-a-whirl, and he was, like, very excited about this idea, and he had pitched the idea at several story meetings, and it became a recurring joke with all the show's writers, and they're like, no, that's silly, we're not gonna do it.
I would throw up so bad. It's
my worst nightmare. Well, yes, exactly. That's why they didn't want to do it. They're like, it's gonna make me nauseous, I don't want to look at people spinning.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you.
So they saved us
Thank
all
you.
From nausea. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so none of the other writers liked it. And they, I guess their main gripe with it is that it lacked an X-Files mystery.
You mean he didn't even have an X-File part to it?
I mean, I don't know. It's just...
He's just throwing spitballs. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, man.
So then Gilligan revised the idea. So he's like, okay, so if the ride is shut off, the guy's head will explode. That's our mystery.
Okay.
You know, he made it. Nice. But he really wanted this to happen.
Yeah. Aww. That's kind of sweet.
So they still didn't like it. So he determined to make the story work. And that's, you know, that's inspiring, I guess.
Yeah.
So then he started researching like various government experiments. So he learned about Project HARP and Project ELF. So these are like real projects by the Air Force and the Navy where they're doing experiments with long wavelengths. And so he's like, all right, we're going to work that in. That's our mystery. Mm-hmm. Evil government experiments. Is that X-Files enough for you?
I guess.
He tossed his script down on the table and they said, no, not yet, Vince. Take it back to the workshop.
Get us some more X in that file.
He also said, now this is going to surprise you.
Okay.
He also said that he was partly inspired by the film Speed.
Is that that's the one with the bus?
Mm-hmm. It's the bus where they have to drive really fast and they cannot slow down. And if they slow down, a lot of people die.
Because it'll explode or something? Yeah,
yes, there's a bomb.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that's similar to this in that he has to go fast or he'll explode.
Yes. I think that's the connection there.
That's
Do you see it?
I mean, it's a little vague, but I guess I could see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think they should have called this episode Speed 2. That would have been funny.
That would have been pretty cute.
They probably couldn't do that, but...
Mini Speed. It's on the TV.
There you go.
Aww.
Speed on the small screen.
Small screen Speed.
Small screen Speed. That is not a good title.
It's not.
So I guess that's why they didn't do it.
But they could name it Drive, even though the movie Drive exists.
Didn't exist yet.
I know.
Yeah. Although, as we were talking about off mic, weird that Bryan Cranston is in both.
He loves driving.
He does.
He's passionate about it. And you'll notice driving happens a lot in Breaking Bad.
That's true.
They drive more than in other shows. You know?
More than in other shows?
There are shows where they don't show the driving part as much.
I suppose. I mean, they're always on the move in Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Sure. Shows buying cool cars and revving them in the driveways.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
What a moment that happened on that show.
It's fun.
Yeah. Okay. The cold open was done deliberately in the style of news footage, like O.J. Simpson fleeing in his little Bronco in 1994.
They love an O.J. reference.
I mean, I think the 90s loved an OJ reference.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess you can't blame him too much for that.
It's true.
So I guess he finally worked it out. He got a script that they appreciated, and they agreed to do it, finally.
Nice.
So good for him.
Nice.
So we also have this episode to thank for Breaking Bad.
No.
Probably, obviously.
Thank you.
So Vince Gilligan really wanted Bryan Cranston to be the episode's antagonist because, quote, the episode needed a guy who could be scary and kind of loathsome, but at the same time had a deep, resounding humanity. And so he said later, when he was being interviewed about Breaking Bad, he said that he really wanted Bryan Cranston for the role of Walter White because he had worked with him on The X-Files and he knew how good he could be. And I guess the Breaking Bad executives didn't want him because they only knew him from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
But Vince is like, nah, 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 nah. Watch this episode of The X-Files. He's really good.
Watch my episode and rent it on Amazon and maybe even buy it. I do get residuals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thank you.
He did make them all buy it. No. Yeah, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have, he got hired because of this episode.
Nice. So. Well, thank you, everybody. I'm glad that this happened. Breaking Bad, great show. Loved it.
Haven't seen it.
I think you'd like it.
Yeah?
I think so. There's this one guy who's like kind of a sad sack.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, your Kendall Roy types.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you like Kendall Roy?
Uh-huh.
So I think you might like this guy too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His name's Jesse Pinkman.
Doesn't ring a bell. Doesn't ring a bell.
Interesting.
Doesn't ring a bell.
I mean, the show's been off the air for a bit, I guess.
That's true.
Do you remember Better Call Saul? That was like
Nope, haven't seen that either.
Okay, that was like a sequel.
A sequel?
Well,
well, I don't know.
Parts of it.
That's well, okay. Fair
sequel,
enough.
Prequel.
That's true, that's true.
A sandwich, a Breaking Bad sandwich, if you will.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's a joke. Obviously, we have both seen Breaking Bad.
Multiple.
That was funny. That was a funny little bit that we just did.
It was very funny.
Okay.
And see, we've never made that joke.
No, we have not. So yay Breaking Bad. Okay, and then so the farmer guy was played by a country musician, Junior Brown. Vince Gilligan was a fan of his and he flew him out to cameo in the episode at his own expense.
Vince.
He's like, you gotta be in my episode, man.
All right.
So.
I need you.
And I looked this guy up, and this guy, Junior Brown, has a song called Better Call Saul. So,
oh my god, full
so they're
circle.
Best
Do you
friends.
Think they hang out?
I hope so.
That's awesome.
That'd be fun.
It would be.
I mean, like, maybe.
They might, yeah.
If they've worked together, it's certainly not the craziest thing that could happen.
That's insane. There's no way they hang out. That doesn't happen.
No.
Okay. But what if it did?
It would be crazy.
It might. Okay.
I think that's it.
Well, thank you for sharing. I thank this episode for Breaking Bad. Appreciate that. Love that.
Thanks, Drive.
Thanks, Drive. And it gave us the Ryan Gosling movie. Okay. Let's move on to Blazer Watch, which is the segment in the episode where we talk about the fashion in this episode of The X-Files. I was about to say Breaking Bad. I got to be honest with you. This episode of The X-Files.
Breaking Bad, not a very fashionable show.
There's stuff to talk about, I guess.
There
in a similar
is.
Way. You
That's
know.
True. It's very aughts fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walter, always with those tidy whities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. His little tan jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. His green button-ups.
I mean, Jesse's always wearing something crazy.
Jesse's
so.
Got some outfits.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. What do we got in this episode?
I honestly don't really have a lot. I have Pouty Mulder with his sunglasses.
Yeah.
I have in the cold open, one of the State Patrol guys is like the most State Patrol man to ever exist. Like he seems like he was birthed from Zeus's brow, a fully fledged State Patrol officer. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He just has that kind of long face.
Yeah.
But it's not really an outfit.
He looks like he likes cowboy poetry, but he doesn't tell anyone else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does Vince like cowboy poetry?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I'd say so, right?
Yep. Yep.
Who doesn't, honestly, though? Let's be real. Bryan Cranston, I guess we mentioned it. He has a fashionable mustache and some longish, kind of 70s-ish hair, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a pink shirt. I don't know. It's cute. Cute outfit. Love it. Me, when they had kind of the outfit and everything, they gave me some really nice curly hair that went down to about my shoulders, and I had glasses and kind of a drawn face, but that was just because the makeup was melting because the stage lights were hot. So, yeah, that was, I was having some pretty serious medical issues in there.
It was bad. This sounds like a very traumatic experience.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you see why I'm scared of the X-Files now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I associate Gillian Anderson with my trauma.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Why did your parents allow this to happen?
They didn't know.
Oh.
Yeah, this was during the school day. I was sneaking off to do it.
Oh, this was of your own volition.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Didn't you have to have, like, a, you know, permission slip?
I forged it.
Oh.
I wrote my parents' signature as a four-year-old on a permission form.
You had very good hand-eye coordination at four.
I feel like I couldn't read, right? I don't think I could
probably
read at
not.
Four.
Well, maybe you're precocious. I mean, you're acting at four, so
well, that's true.
You're very
that's
precocious.
I was learning my lines by talking through them with the director. I wasn't reading them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had like two lines, so
yeah,
it's pretty easy.
Yeah, but I mean, big words.
Mm-hmm,
I couldn't do R's or S's.
Ear canal, Quarantine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eo canal? Hard.
Exactly.
It was hard.
You didn't have a soft palate back then.
Barely.
Or you did have a soft palate? Which one is it?
You could say anything.
Okay.
You probably had one. I don't know.
Something about kids and soft palates. I know that.
Life is hard for kids.
It
they
is.
Can't pronounce words good.
Yeah.
Anyway, unlike me, who never messes anything up. They also have the classic hazmat suits in the episode with like giant lights on the inside of the helmet to illuminate the actors' faces, which... It's always funny, but also the nature of making TV. So I'm not actually criticizing that.
Yeah.
Also, push back on me if this is wrong.
Okay.
Does Kirsch kind of look like an evil version of Reggie?
They
both have, like, glasses and mustaches.
I guess so. He just could be.
Like, a little bit.
A little bit. Sure. It's just, like, my heart... cries out against that because Reggie could never be evil.
No.
And would never do anything wrong.
Well, he's the good twin.
I know, it's just like, I don't like to consider him and evil together. Not that, I mean, we don't know anything about Kirsch, but if we're contrasting them.
He seems evil.
I mean,
I'm guessing.
I was trying to be, you know, nice, but...
I think he's supposed to be evil.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think this show is nuanced enough to have people that, like... dislike Mulder but aren't evil. I think anyone who dislikes Mulder is evil, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
So, I don't like to think that of my man Reggie.
Yeah.
Reggie!
Kirsch.
Alvin. Does he need a theme song?
We'll see if one develops naturally, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to force it. No. But just, like, I want to plant the seed. Let's think about it. He needs something.
Is there, like, we could do... Reggie, but like backwards, you know, like we reverse the tape and then we learn how to say that.
Maybe.
Like, I watch Twin Peaks, you know. No, I'm just thinking of
yeah.
How they talk.
There's like in Millennium, which I'm watching, there's like a repeated sound, like usually when a scene starts, there's like this sound effect, it's like boom boom.
Oh.
So it's like every time that Kirsch walks into a room, that could play.
That would be good.
Or something similar. Yeah. Just like an eerie, I don't know, tone.
Did they do that at the start of every scene in Millennium?
Not every scene.
Okay. I was a little worried.
Not every scene, but like...
Okay. They like cut to someone's apartment. It's like, bom, bom.
Yeah. I mean, like many scenes, but not like every scene.
Interesting.
That would get kind of annoying.
It's like the symbols from whatever X-Files episode that was that had 20 symbols. That was the end of season five, right?
The end. Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. Just
love
like
that. Love that. Although those were just haphazard. Those weren't at the beginning of scenes.
No.
It was just whenever they wanted a little stank on it.
I mean, it's just like, whatever, the house style.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we got for Blazer Watch. All right. Let's move on to FBI Do. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. I hiccuped a little bit. This is the segment where we analyze the development of the romantic relationship between the Boot Crew, and we do it on a doomsday clock scale, where 10 minutes to midnight is far from love, and 0 minutes to midnight is right in the atomic blast zone of love, and we like to give examples from the episode at hand to make sense of that scale. Who in this
episode
is... who in this episode would we say is 10 minutes to midnight, which is far from love?
You and air. Nah, I was getting worried.
I was having a little laugh.
I was getting scared.
Don't worry. My lung capacity is second to no one.
Wow. Okay.
Michael Phelps, I'm coming for you.
Okay.
I can hold my breath for 30, maybe 45 seconds easy.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I can hold my breath for 4 minutes.
That'd be cool if you could.
It's not true. I mean, it's maybe true. I don't know. I haven't tried it, but it's probably not true.
Let's try it right now on mic.
Okay, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we can... All right, we can cut out me holding my breath.
Yeah.
Okay. So...
Well, it's been 90 minutes.
God. Oh, my God.
Whoa. I'm so tired.
Yeah. So I'm that good. I'm that good.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that you sat there for 90 whole minutes and let me hold my breath.
I mean, you were holding your breath.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was.
I'm not going to... betray that confidence.
Thank you.
You know?
That confidence.
I don't know.
Okay.
Doesn't mean anything.
It does not.
So anyway, who's actually 10 minutes to midnight in this episode? Let's stop joking around and get serious. I'm taking off my Kirsch glasses okay. right now.
Okay.
I'm putting them back on.
No, I hate to break it to you. I think this segment is inherently a little silly.
I know.
So.
It's true.
Yeah. 10 minutes to midnight, I have Crump and not being a ding-dong.
He's a bit of a ding-dong.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I had Mulder and Kirsch, which is pretty obvious.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't digging deep for that one.
No.
But sometimes that's how it is.
Yeah.
Who would we say is 0 minutes to midnight in this episode?
As always, Mulder and being held hostage.
Oh, yeah.
He loves it.
He's always doing it.
He loves it.
I said Cranston and his wife because he seemed pretty bummed that her head exploded.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It's a bummer.
It is.
It's a bummer.
It is. All right. Well, where do we put the Boo crew on this episode?
Moon?
I think it's a moon one.
I think it's a moon. I mean, they were like Mulder or Scully was worried about Mulder, but.
Sure. But she always is.
Yeah. I mean, she should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a moon.
Yeah.
They're like, they're investigating. They're doing on their own thing.
They're focused.
Strangely, they're like. Well, I guess that's not true. Scully is. I was going to say they're, like, more professional in this episode than they are in many, even though they're not investigating a real case. But I guess Mulder is driving around with a madman.
Yeah.
But so I guess that's not true.
That's about as professional as he gets, I guess.
But he's driving around with a madman with a purpose.
Yes.
He is trying to solve this case.
That's true.
And, like, save this guy's life.
That's true.
I don't know.
He's quipping a lot, though.
Well, he's always quipping.
That's true.
You can't stop him from quipping.
That's true. Or he'll die.
Or he'll die.
Just like the speed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if he stops quipping, his head will explode.
What if it did?
It might.
That'd be scary.
That would be scary.
We never find out.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Well, who's this? Whoa, that's a monster truck. That means it's time for Monster of the Week, where we talk about this week's monster and special guy.
Da-da-da.
If we have one.
Yeah.
Who is this week's monster of the week?
I have either anti-Semitic conspiracy theories or Kirsch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess Kirsch is the monster of the week.
I think those are both
I don't know why that scared me so
much. It's okay. It's just there's just a little computer
that
noise.
Really scared me.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, Kirsch.
This is what it felt like on the set.
Now I know how you feel.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yes, I did say Kirsch as well, although I referred to him as Fake Skinner because that's how I think of him. Like just the scene from Anchorman where Steve Carell is looking at the news desk where Will Ferrell has been replaced by Christina Applegate and he turns to her and stares for a while and then just says, "You're not Ron." It's like that. Okay. I imagine that's how Mulder treats Kirsch. It's like, "You're not Skinner."
Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah.
I've only seen Anchorman once, so I don't remember that. But that does feel right.
Yeah.
Yes. Do we have a special little guy?
I don't think we did.
I wrote down the concept of lariat cars.
We do love lariat cars. We have committed to them hardcore since they stopped showing the stickers.
Yes, they have. There's still time. There's still time.
I hope they come back.
Although I'm scared because, like, now we're, like, you know, in LA. So, like, what if they stop doing lariat cars? Like, things are a little different. I don't know.
They might not. I don't know. Maybe that was a Vancouver place.
I mean, it's not real, so.
I know. But maybe they left all the stickers in Vancouver.
No! they could afford to bring David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson across the country lines, but they couldn't bring a box full of Lariat stickers?
What if they had been like, sorry, Anderson, sorry, Duchovny, you have to walk from Vancouver to LA because your plane ticket has been used by a box of stickers.
They would have been right, because some things are more important.
And Anderson and Duchovny would have understood, and they would have said, cool, let's go on an adventure.
David Duchovny actually offered to carry the box on his own back, like walk the whole way, Homeward Bound style.
That's beautiful.
Back to L.A.
Yeah, Anderson did not.
No, no. She was like, I'm getting on the plane.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Nice. Did he jog?
Yeah.
Okay.
He probably used it. Yeah, he would see it as like an opportunity for like a good workout.
Yeah. More than halfway across the country.
Sure.
Yeah, nice.
It's good. That's a long way.
Quite a way. That's quite a ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David.
Yep. All right. What was our favorite scenes and moments from this episode?
I quite liked the last scene where they arrive at the ocean and Mulder just sadly gets out of the car. I don't know. It was just Crump's dead. He failed. All of that work is for naught. Very sad, but just kind of like a. I like that there was no dialogue. It was a good scene.
That's true.
And the ocean, you know.
Yeah.
I love a good bummer ending.
That's true. Hey, they saved other people.
That's true.
But they not did. Crump.
Yeah. Mister.
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 Mister White.
White.
Mister White.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the scene at the Crump residence with the rabid dog kind of situation, which you touched on when you were describing that scene, but it's got the vibes. I mean, it's like clearly on a soundstage, but it still looks good.
Yeah.
It's spooky. It's scary. It's got a dog barking. It's quiet. It's ominous.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Good lighting.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on. Good fog.
Some good hazmats. You know, I missed my fog. Gotta have my fog.
I mean, there's less fog in LA.
Yeah, there's smog.
There's smog, but it's less fun, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we've come to the point in the episode where we rate it, which we do on a scale of 0 to 5 alien head emojis. You know, I'm gonna ask it, what are you giving Drive by The X-Files? Starring David Duchovny as
FBI agent.
Special Agent Fox Mulder and Gillian Anderson as Special Agent Dana Scully.
That's funny. I didn't know you were going to ask that question, so I'm shocked.
Oh,
but
shit.
I'm prepared to answer anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Because that's how good I am.
You're always on your toes. You're flexible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good episode. Mm-hmm. It's a solid X-File. Bryan Cranston is very good. As always, you know, this is not news, but Bryan Cranston's a good actor.
I don't think he's good. I think he's great.
Okay, thank you, yeah. I can definitely see why this episode did land him the role of Walter White. He is very good at making you sympathize with detestable characters. He's very good at being, like, out of control and dramatic, and he's good as, like, a man out of control trying to regain control.
Yes,
he's very good at that.
Yes.
It's like he's a good actor or something.
That's weird.
So that's good. You know, the conceit of the episode is very exciting. I like all the scenes of Mulder and Crump driving around together. I also like Scully's part of the episode too. I like when she's given like an actual mystery to solve this time, and like her role is not saying, Mulder, you're crazy and wrong, and then being wrong. Like, she actually is doing something and solving a mystery and whatever, participating in the plot of the episode, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I did appreciate that. I like that she's on board with the X-File. I don't know. Even though they're, like, separated, I feel like those two storylines melded together well. I feel like I do like an episode where they're separated.
Sometimes it's,
like, sad or, like, it doesn't work well. But, like, I feel like in episodes like this, when the two storylines work together, I feel like it, I don't know, it works out.
You love to see them apart, I get it.
I do. I never want to see them in the room together ever again. I never want them to speak to each other ever again.
It'd be a weird show.
Yeah, it would be.
But they could do it.
Is there a show with,
leads that don't interact?
Yes.
Yes?
Wasn't there, like, some drama on, like, The Good Wife or something where by the end two of the leads hated each other so much that the characters could only be on the phone together because then they could film their scene separately? I remember hearing about this. I could have the show wrong, but there is a show where that happened.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And then I guess there's, you know, your ensemble cast shows where some characters just happen to never interact, like Walt Jr. and Jesse.
I suppose. But I'm thinking of more like your lead leads.
I guess the beginning of Carnival.
That is true. Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess there are shows like that.
Hmm.
All right. Fair enough.
What else can I think of?
There's probably more. This Is Us. I haven't seen
it. Could be. You could tell me. Milo Ventimiglia is in it.
That's what I've heard. I haven't seen it.
Haven't either.
So, yeah. It's fast-paced. It's action-packed. It's a good X-File. It's a good... I feel like it's a good mystery. Like, I feel like usually on X-Files, like, we already know what's happening, which isn't, like, a bad thing. It's just, like, how the show works. But I feel like in this one, we did not... Even though we knew his head was going to explode, we didn't know why. So it was, like, a good mystery, too. So, had a good time watching it. I'll give it a solid 4 alien head emojis.
All right. All right. I agree.
There's a long pause there.
I was holding my breath.
Oh, for 95 minutes. That was so impressive. I left while you were doing that.
Yeah, I thought that was rude, but I did not have enough physical energy to follow you.
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't have oxygen for some reason.
Yep.
I don't know what was going on there. But no, I agree. I noted that, yeah, Scully gets to be the one who is kind of developing the X-Files theory in this one, while Mulder is just, like, babysitting the sufferer.
The sufferer.
Or whatever, which, like you said, is a bit of a flip from how it usually is, so I did really enjoy that. She was a much more active person than she has been in many past ones. I'm just repeating what you said, but I also I had that note. If we look at the document... We'll know.
Well, you might have just, like, stolen my notes while I left the room and you were holding your breath.
No.
You can hold your breath and type at the same time.
I can't. That's a weird problem that I have.
So you can hold your breath for 95 minutes, but you can't type at the same time.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of weird, right?
It is kind of weird.
I should probably go see a doctor.
Maybe.
But I wouldn't worry about it. Yes, the vibes were good. It's spooky. It's, well, there's really just the little spooky scene at the Cranston house.
Mm-hmm. Heads exploding are spooky.
It is, you know what? Yes, thank you. It is spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I feel like we got to know Cranston a little bit, whether we wanted to or not. But like Vince was saying, he has a remarkable ability to play annoying people in a compelling way.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that charisma, you know? He's got that depth. He's got that mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. So, yeah, I'm trying to think if I had any other thoughts that you didn't steal from me. I'm just kidding.
I plucked them out of your little head.
Plucked them right out.
Yeah.
Are you sure you didn't steal my notes when I was whispering them into my palm?
Maybe. I don't know. That's possible.
Or maybe that's an obvious thing to note about the episode. I guess that would be another option.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's cool. It's fun. Whatever. I liked it. I had a good time. You know, they're making use of the desert. They're making it work.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting to see new parts of the country, which is exciting.
Because
It was before everywhere, but it just looked like Vancouver. So they'd be in, you know, Iowa with mountains in the background. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're seeing a different part of the U.S. That's fine.
I can embrace that. But not Kansas.
I assume they go to Kansas eventually.
They do.
They better.
They do in this season.
They better soon.
I think it's like they go to Kansas in episode 8.
But is it like dumb? Is it like the Wizard of Oz ghost?
Wizard of Oz ghost. I don't know.
Someone gets run over by the big ball of twine.
It's possible. Mm. We'll find out.
Okay. Is it about me?
It's about you.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've already been on the show, so.
Yeah, might as well be.
Yeah.
So I liked it. It was good. It was a solid episode. It was an X-File, but it felt like an action movie at times.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go wrong. I gave it a solid 3.5 out of 5 alien head emojis.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
X.
Excellent.
Thanks. But I guess if we give it the Breaking Bad bump, I would put it up to 4.5 for being responsible.
There you go.
For Breaking Bad existing in a way.
That is important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe Breaking Bad would have existed without it, but it would not have Bryan Cranston, and it probably would not have been as good.
It would have been Vince Gilligan, because they couldn't find anyone else. And then he wouldn't be in the Fast and the Furious movies.
Dang it. Wow.
I am Q-Nux. I am the danger.
You know, I don't think I can imagine it. Because he's not an actor, you know?
Yeah, it's true. He's just a dude.
He's just a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Writing.
Yeah.
Writing the stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, that's that. I think, I don't know. You got anything else?
I don't think so.
All right.
It's a fun time.
Cool. Drive. All right.
Well, next week we will be moving on. We will be talking about season 6, episode 3, Triangle, which is one of my personal favorite episodes. So I'm excited.
It's about the Bermuda Triangle?
Maybe.
Is it about the instrument, the triangle?
Maybe.
Is it about the Illuminati?
Maybe.
Is it about little kitty ears?
Maybe.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Could be. It's about all of those.
That would be an interesting episode.
Yeah, I guess.
But like in the, you know, when you use the word interesting as a placeholder.
It's real different.
Yeah.
It's a different episode.
You're from Minnesota. You get it.
Yep.
If you have any questions or comments for us, you can send us an email at skellynationpod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, both of those at skellynationpod. And our intro and outro music is by Groovemaster Putz, and you can get more of their music on Bandcamp.
Also, if you're enjoying our show, please consider giving us a rating and a review on your podcatcher of choice, and spread the word about the podcast. Tell your friends, your family, and the guy who's taking you hostage in your car and whose head is about to explode about the podcast, because he will not have long to listen to the podcast, but maybe for just a brief moment in time, it will bring him a small modicum of joy before his head explodes and he dies.
Man, what if our voice was the perfect pressure reliever for the sound and he had to listen to our podcast or he'd die?
Okay. Fate worse than death, you know?
Maybe he'd choose to explode. We don't know.
I believe that our voices could pierce through someone's eardrum, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we got really screechy.
Okay.
You know? I'm not going to do
it. I'm not going to do it, but you can imagine it.
But imagine us getting really screechy right now, you know, an E and A.
Yeah, yeah.
And just imagine that effect on your ear.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to do it, but then I'm like, that'll be very... It's going to pierce someone's eardrum.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, not pleasant to listen to.
I compressed the audio, so it would at least not be loud, but...
Okay.
But it wouldn't be pleasant.
Yeah.
No. Well, anyway, I've been your host, Amanda.
And I have been Ella... And please remember, trust no one, not even us, because we were both lying about how long we can hold our breath.
It's more like a minute.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Or less.
Yeah.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.